Right, I think we're on here.
Now, there's a young lady that's on the church.
Yes, I know her, yes.
Okay. She was going to class, she said, went away to stop in and went out.
Hey, if have your attention for you, East 91st, George is going to be speaking here at the church on Sunday in the Cornerstone class at 9:30. When you go down, I don't know which staircase to say, but you go down the hallway past the flags, or where the flags used to be, and you go down those steps, and if you go to the immediate left at the bottom of the steps. 132.
Oh,
132.
Bottom of the
steps. 9:30. I'm not even well. One thing is about the ascension of Christ. And Pat again, I mean, is with the church pastor, Dave Long, says that she has a mystery for a while. She's sort of our boss these days. She's kind of overseeing all the evening, the adult discipleship stuff. Yes, that's written now.
She got married.
Now, exhibit A here, this says, Sonia LaVie.
Oh, well.
So I think we should pass the hat. You know, get a couple of bucks so Tanya can get a new right now.
Yeah, my dad's coming
in. Get out, so, because there's money.
No, Wesner.
When were you married? I won't be. October, okay.
How are you?
Only 3 months behind. It could have been worse. You know, I'm just wondering, before we get started, a couple of you guys would be willing to pull those chairs down. When we're this full at 25 till, I start worrying about people coming in. You know, if we set up another row of chairs, might be a good idea. We're going to be close to filling, but, and this might save us stepping over each other and so forth. If anybody's new here tonight, my name is Bob Walters. I sort of act as class secretary and general ne'er-do-well and such. Anybody new? Anybody will admit to being new? We've got a sign-up sheet over here, and he'll pick on these men about introduction and so forth. The sign-up sheet, we email the notes and so forth. So, I think we're... Take it away, Rabbi.
Right. If you are here the first time, just let me warn you, take a big drink. It's not a life threatening, but it is a mind threatening. So, now who are you? You look so young and so pretty, both of you. So, who are you?
My name is Nate Dazzlers, my wife Jessica.
She's going to keep you alive for 50 years.
I hope so.
Right. Both of you haven't seen before.
Yes.
Once before?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago? My memory is fading.
What's the song going? Me, God, 2 ladies. 3 ladies. 4 ladies. So who are you?
Jessica.
You are new?
We
did
our order.
That is the puppy see. My glass not serious for that. And here 2 weeks ago, you are new. And you are new? Okay, anybody here for the first time, put your hands up to save my embarrassment. Yes, sir. Who are you, sir?
Tom.
Schneider. Is that a German name?
Yeah.
Yes, I lived in Germany for a while, and I miss German bread. You have any German bread at home?
I can probably make it.
You can make it?
Yeah.
No. You have to teach me. In this area, anybody new? You hiding? Daniel? Who is the man next to you?
Mr. Frank.
You are my friend, you are being
now,
here.
George, we do have another new lady right there. You can't see her.
Yes. Sorry, who are you?
Yes, I do. My name is Aileen Pauley, and I'm a friend of
Hope. Good. Thank you. And in the back, the lady with black hair, you are the daughter of this gentleman. Right? Okay, now that I remember, why is that? I don't know.
We had 2 weeks ago, here's a stack of the week one notes that are sitting over here. We got plenty of them. But I know we had kind of some bad weather the first week too, so a lot of people weren't here. So if you need notes from the first week of Hebrews, they are right here, and we'll be here after class.
So at the back end, are you new? Not you. No. No?
No, we were here 2 weeks ago.
I was here 2 weeks ago, but I don't remember that.
You told my wife her eyes sparkled.
Oh, yes. That's right. Because, you know, I hope one day we will have a break. I'll teach you some of our Jewish tricks, you know. And the gentleman there?
Yes, I'm new, so now you can hear.
Thank thank goodness. Yeah. There is someone. And Frida and Carol are back. You came out of your shell, huh?
We're out of hibernation.
Good.
Thawed out.
Okay, will you please leave your telephone number and email and fingerprints with Bob Walters, with you. Julie, you still here? Oh, nice to see you. Joyce, you back from Florida?
Unfortunately, yes.
Well, it's nice to see you. Tanya, can you lead us in prayer, please?
Yeah.
Not in Persian, in English.
In Persian.
John, can you see that if that thing is working or not? I'm not as clever as you. Where is Her Majesty? I saw you creeping like a cat. I don't know if that thing still is working. It is working, huh?
Looks like it.
Okay.
Yeah, you should be gone.
Right. Thank you. Did you bring the chair, baby?
Yes.
Or you are good. Okay. Now then, I would say that tonight is for the glory of Christ more than any other night ever. Simply because if you have been living in a non-Christian culture, in a place like, say, Egypt, your awareness of the divinity of Jesus is, let us say, to be moderate, twice higher than the awareness of a Christian living in the West, you know, in a place like USA or Europe. Not because we are better, but because you are challenged every day. Why do you believe in the divinity of Jesus? Especially in Islam, where there is a radical negative form of monotheism that demands belief in one God who does not communicate anything to us His communication with humanity has been through the law and the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad, and that took place in the 7th century. And since then, he did not utter one single new word. I don't know if that resonates with you to tell you about the theological stagnation of Islam.
Theological what?
Stagnation.
Oh, stagnation.
It's a bad word, I think, in English. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't want to.
I have at least two people to check my English with. One sitting at the back. She is my, what shall I call you, assistant? She's my reader. She's a lovely woman, and she has a better reading and good American accent. And Mr. Walter also, who is very good when it comes to public relationship. You mustn't say that word. Fine. Okay. Now for us as Christians, coming out of that culture, don't frown, Bob, I'm going to stand up so I can see you. Why, is that better?
My.
Thank you. Coming out of the Islamic culture, or coming out of a non-Christian culture, I think your culture here in America, and in spite of the impact of secularism, nevertheless, there is a great deal of freedom. Sometimes the volume of tolerance is too much. For me, I think it's too much. For you, it may sound too little, or maybe destructive. But for us, we can tolerate anything apart from denying the divinity of Jesus. It is the backbone of our life. And that's why when we read the scriptures, we read the scriptures with that deep awareness, looking for the witness of the scriptures to the unique place of Christ. He is not a prophet, though he is called a prophet. He is not just a man, though he is a man. You know? And that's when we look at the entire New Testament, we resonate deeply with all the declarations that were said about God in the Old Testament, more than the people in the West. Well, simply because of the challenge. Here, that challenge will come to you one day. Maybe it is on its way. I wonder. So, why Hebrews starts at the very beginning with a comparison between our Lord and the angels? Why? If you look at the background of that in Judaism, you will see two important elements. That in the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, many of the Jews started to believe they cannot communicate with God directly. God has to communicate with them through the angels. To the extent that some of them even, what we call them, sects, especially in the diaspora, outside Palestine.
That word is diaspora, and it means the scattered nations of Israel.
Yeah, people outside Israel, they started to worship angels. You see a traces of that in the letter of Paul to Colossians, chapter 2. So why the comparison between Jesus and the angels? Strange enough, today, in the year 2009, Jehovah Witnesses claim that Christ is Michael, the archangel.
Michael?
Oh, yes. Bad people, I think. I love them immensely. Because our Lord told us to love our enemies, didn't he?
Yes.
And you know, I'm sorry to say to you, when I'm in a good mood and they come to our house on a Saturday, I say Christmas came early. Christmas and Easter came early. I give them coffee and tea and cookies, whatever I have, and slowly slice them. And this handout, my dear brothers and sisters, is, you know that machine you see in some of the grocery stores when you go and buy pastrami or beef? You know that machine that slices almost so thin that you can wrap your tobacco in the slice? You know, it is basically, that is the machine is here. And even these people who are spreading across the USA and Europe, the Mormons, who believe that Jesus and the devil were brothers. Yes. And Lucifer is the brother of Jesus, and Lucifer did not keep his place, and that's why God sent his son, that Jesus Christ, he's another angel. You know, and you know, all that points to what I said earlier about Judaism in the time of Jesus. You cannot communicate with God directly, you need an angel. Now, for just to complete the picture, who else said that he received revelation from God through an angel? It's a whole religion that has, I believe, over at least 1 billion people, if not more, Islam. Because in Islam, Muhammad never heard God directly. It was the angel Gabriel. Gabriel brought the Quran from the highest heaven to the Prophet of Islam. Aren't we back to chapter 1 of Hebrews? You know, sometimes when I read the New Testament, I keep saying, my goodness, whoever wrote that must have been living with us. Someone must have seen by the spirit of prophecy what is going to happen in human history. To bring a mediator between God and humanity, other than God himself, is precisely a destruction of both God and humanity. And this is my second point. You know, if I have a mediator between God and me, and that is not God himself, I am completely destroyed. And God himself is completely destroyed. You know why? Can anybody, have you had your supper? And there's a little bit of sugar in your blood system so you are not fast asleep? If there is another mediator between you and God,
then it's not God.
Who's not God, obviously. Your life is destroyed. How is that? Don't look at me. It's not written here. I need to listen to you. Okay. Every word you say, believe me, is more valuable than reading any book that I love.
Okay, I'd like to hear the question again.
You like to hear the question again?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Walter, you're the great interpreter.
If your mediator with God is not God, then we and God are completely destroyed. Why?
You got it, Your Majesty? I'll tell you something, an analogy. An analogy, right? If you have a toothache, you know toothache? Instead of taking, something you take here in America, I know the
Advil.
British brand.
Advil.
And instead of taking Advil, you swallowed something they used to kill the spiders. Oh, one of these, the thing that killed the insects.
Rage.
You swallowed, you sprayed yourself with rage. Open your gum and with rage, if it takes the pain, but it will take also your life, I assume. Right?
Yes.
There's a man came to kill all these unwelcome insects in our house. I had to actually leave the house and go in the cold. The smell triggered my asthma. Oh, I couldn't really I said, I'm not a spider, I better leave. So I left. So why my life and why God himself is destroyed? Oh, I love the tune. Keep it playing. Okay. Why I'm destroyed? Okay. Don't worry. Is that the Almighty? It's Obama. Well, you know, you're not far from truth. You're not far from truth. People in Europe think that he's God Almighty. Never mind. So also the Arab. Yes, Jeff.
First thing I thought of was, you know, your analogy is the breath of God. Of course, it's the breath of God flowing through them. You know, the mediators you're talking about, the Holy Spirit.
You are lovely, Jeff. You remind me of all these bright people who put the key in the door and make one click. Can you just turn it, you know, and kick it wide open?
Well, there's no life. There's no breath.
You will lose eternal life. Why don't become very precise, Jeff? You will.
I like analogies.
All right. You will lose eternal life because only God can give you eternal life. That's very serious. Oh, we will talk about eternal life later on when we cruise into Hebrews. I hope I finish Hebrews before the year 2010. No, I think we will. Don't worry. You will lose eternal life. Okay, that is your destruction. What about God? What about God?
Did you hear us?
What about God? Poor old God, I always say. I said to him, poor you. What have you done to select us Christians to be your witnesses? Couldn't you have done something better than that?
Poor God.
What about God? Poor God, yes. Poor God indeed. What about God? God is completely taken. You know, when you go and in England they don't spray their gardens, they take the weeds from their roots. You do that too? Mm-hmm. I thought you have a spray for everything.
No.
You know, God is completely removed. He's no longer God. God is completely changed into something obscure, unknown, even an idol. Because the one created you does not actually care about you. The one who created you does not reveal himself to you. When you are in trouble, he sends an angel to you. He himself does not come to help you. He is far away. You remember Fiddler on the Roof? When they said to the rabbi, say a blessing for the Tsar. What did the rabbi say? May God bless him and keep him far away from us. I love that, you know. God bless him, keep you far away. But you know, when God is far away from your life, what's going to happen to you? Your life is shaped and reshaped by secularism. Mm-hmm. And you know, the great disaster, my friends, if anyone can shape your life other than God, your life will sink down into the pit. Give you a good example. If you want to learn how to play tennis or to swim, you don't go and learn from a beginner, do you? Do you? You go and learn how to play tennis with someone who's qualified. If you want to improve, you better play with someone who is better than you. Any time we imitate anyone other than God, we lapse into non-human behavior. We need all the time to look ahead, to look to something that is greater than me in everything. I look to what is perfect, beautiful, merciful, kind, compassionate, powerful, greater than me. And when I am in communion with him, I improve But if I look at someone who is less than me, I become less than him. Oh yes. Have you ever played? I used to play table tennis very well. I used to, about 80 years ago, I think. But you know, whenever I play with someone who is not good, I look back to myself. My goodness, what happened? My ability has gone down. Because, you know, you play with a beginner. And then, you know, you try to play very well and he cannot play very well with you. So you try to go back to the basic things. And when you go back to the basic things, you know, once, twice, three times, four times, all the good things I've learned, gone. That's it. Now, my assistant can't keep you just...
got too many electronic devices.
Yes, I think sit here. I'll sit here on the chair. Yes. Now, please listen to the text of Hebrews.
To which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son; today I have begotten you"? And again, "I shall be his father, and he will be my son." And again, when God brings his firstborn son into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him."
Stop here. No. Fantastic. When God brings the firstborn into the world, who is worshiping him?
The angels.
All the angels of God. Yeah. Don't forget, including Mr. Michael and Gabriel. All of them worship him. Now you have to be here very prudent. Either God is true to himself and doesn't allow any other God to be worshipped beside him, or the Son is truly God. You know, let all the angels of God worship him. You know, this is, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
No witnesses. You know, I'll tell you.
This is good for them.
Not only good for them. If you read the translation of the letter to the Hebrews, it is badly mutilated. They cannot translate the first chapter of the letter to the Hebrews correctly because they know it's a trap. Oh no, more than that. There is a, you know, I told you, some of those who were before, you know, for the new people, I love setting traps and ambush people. Sorry, it's my wicked nature. I love that. You know, when I just make an ambush. When I'm ambushed, you know, I see the animal in the trap. And I sip my tea. With such a joy, greater than the joy being in heaven. You know why? Because the devil is in chains. Oh yes. Yeah, the devil is in chains. You know, all the seconds. You know, suddenly I had two Jehovah's Witnesses, and God saved their life because my wife wasn't there. My wife always comes. She was in Connecticut. On a Saturday, and they came and started to talk to me, and I told them to be a. I said, "Look, brothers and sisters, you know, I'm a simple-minded man." That's a trap. That's a trap. I don't know the Bible very well.
Oh,
what is? because they play on our own ignorance. Oh, they do. Once they discover that you don't know the Bible very well, they try to set their trap for you. Fine, you're going to set a trap for me, I'm going to put you in a deep ditch. It's as bad as that. So what is your faith? You go to church, I said yes whenever I can, which is true. I was not telling a lie. If I have a back pain, if it's too cold for me to get out, I stay in bed. Whenever I can. Where do you go? I said I go to many churches. Such as at East Pinefarist, the Orthodox Church. You go to the Orthodox Church? I said, yes. I go there, I have a lot of friends. They are bad people. Maybe. And then, you know, we start to talk. And I said to them, you know, they have their own translation of the New Testament. And I said, can I have a look? And immediately I opened their book on the letter to the Hebrews. And I started praying. I was horrified. I kept saying, that is not faithful to the Greek.
That is not faithful to the Greek.
The Greek. You know Greek? I said, yes.
Simple-minded.
Yeah, I'm a simple-minded Christian. That's true. How? I said, because a lot of words are missing from your translation. Such as, I said, such as all God's angels. It is in the Greek. I said, oh, yes, 100%. And now, listen to the next one. Please, come.
And of the angels, he says, he is the one who makes his angels winds. Wings?
Yes, winds, yes.
And his ministers a flame of fire. While to the Son, he says, forever and ever is your throne, O God, and the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom.
You see, when we came to that, now here's the trap. I said to them, where does this quotation come from? He says, forever, forever is your throne, O God. And they said, it's from the Old Testament. I said, what does it say in Hebrew? In the Hebrew language? Because, you know, they claim our ignorance. They say, it is Elohim. Oh, I said, wonderful. Oh, I'm glad. It is Elohim because do we have prayers in the Old Testament by the prophets and the patriarchs of the Old Testament and by David addressed to Elohim? They looked at me with blank eyes. I said, yes, your throne, O God. Because you see, Jehovah's Witnesses say the word God in Greek. You can look at, I think it's in the handout. Okay, page 4. Page 4. Why should we refute the teaching of both Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses? Have you got that?
Yeah.
Okay. You have Elohim. And you know, your throne, O God, they say the word Theos here at the last line in Greek is not used for Jesus. They play on our ignorance. You know, there are two words in Greek. Can I have your... Thank you, sir. You either have this... That's English. And you have this... Kyrios. Kyrios means Lord or Master. I say, you know, no. Theos was never used for Jesus. That's a rubbish. It's used in the second verse of the Gospel of John. And they say, but the definite article, the, is missing. I said, but it's not missing from the Psalm. Is that a good trap?
Yeah.
Theos. Not missing, and it's not missing from the confession of Thomas either. We'll come to Kyrios in a minute. Please bear with me, because you see, if you read Hebrews chapter 1 carefully and go back to the Old Testament, you will stand up and give glory to Jesus who is Yahweh, because that is the truth, the Christian truth. So when go to page 5, please. That's why the witnesses play on our weakness in knowing the background of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Three names for God in the Old Testament. Have you got that?
Yes.
You are a great reader. and you are always handsomely dressed. No, 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 no. There's no Greek. There is Hebrew here.
That's Hebrew.
I will read the Hebrew. Okay. Speak it in English, fam. Please.
Okay. In Psalms 29:1 and 89:7, we find Be'el Elyon.
Be'el Elyon, sons of God.
Heavenly beings. While in Genesis 6:2 and Job, we find
Be'el Elohim
with the same meaning. The mm-hmm. Old Testament has.
Okay, the living God. No, never mind.
In Psalms 18:32, who is God but Yahweh? Is parallel to 2 Samuel 22:32, who is El.
Because El is one of the names of God. El is Yahweh. Elohim is Yahweh. And Yahweh is Elohim. And Elohim is El. You know, my dear friends, there are three gods in the Old Testament. The three names are for the deity. Because, you know, Judaism comes out of what we call the Semitic stock. I have to say to you, don't you ever make a mistake and think that the Old Testament does not belong to the faith of other nations. That's not true. Semitic people in the time of Abraham worshipped the god El. In the time of the book of Job, they worshipped the god El. And El, Elohim, Yahweh, and then later on Adonai. All these names are used for God specifically in prayers. And therefore, there's no three gods in Judaism. Because you see, you know the confession of faith in Judaism. We call it the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is
one God.
I don't know whether he is Yahweh, or Elohim, or El, or Adonai. It makes no difference for the Jews. And I'm coming to something very special. Jehovah Witnesses say, oh no, but Yahweh is the personal name of God. Oh, what about other names? Did King David, the great one who wrote the Psalms, did he know that Yahweh is a personal name and he must use that personal name? They look with black eyes. Let us read the Psalms from 90 onwards. All the names of God in these Psalms, neither Elohim nor Yahweh, but Adonai. Adonai! Or you know, on earth. And when you come to the Septuagint, that is a Greek translation of the Old Testament, was done by the Jews in Alexandria, you have the word Kyrios, Lord. So when the New Testament used this word for Jesus, who wrote the New Testament?
The Jews.
Jews converted to Christianity as the disciples of Jesus. They knew the Septuagint very well. So they know that the Greek word Kyrios is for God. Oh yes. You know, all this playing on the ignorance of us Christians is due to the fact that when we teach and preach the scriptures, we must dig into the background of everything. Otherwise, all I gave them the hardest time of their life. It was a nice spring day, they started to sweat. You know, because you see, I went to my study, I got the Hebrew scriptures. And I said, can you read the psalm? I started to read it in Hebrew. That's the trap. So, you know Hebrew? I said, yes. I know Greek also. How? Because I know the scripture for 75 years. At the University of Cambridge, you know, you bad lot, go and get your superior. Oh, the woman standing there, you know, started to shiver. And I said, you stop lying at simple-minded Christians. I told them simple-minded Christians, started telling you lies. Now you are frightened. Sit down, woman. Finish your tea. The door is locked. You can't get out. My goodness. What is it? You play with my ignorance. And you come and tell me, Kyrios means master. It doesn't mean God. Good heavens. Read Hebrews chapter 1 and read it. These quotations in chapter 1 apply to the Son of God comes from the Old Testament. Mm. It is a biblical witness to the divinity of Jesus.
Amen.
My dear friends, hey, please, read Deuteronomy here. Oh, have I confused you?
No.
Not yet?
Okay. In Deuteronomy 32:17, we find the expression
La ilo.
No.
Where
God.
Do you hear that?
Islam.
No God. Where do you hear that in English, in America today?
Islam.
In Islam. You know, La ilah, lo ilah. The same. In Hebrew and Arabic, good heavens, they are cousins, aren't they? We are the lost ones. You know, no God. Which appears in Islam. No God. Lo ilah, lo el. No means no. Haven't you seen that in Fiddler on the Roof or any of these Jewish films, you know? Okay.
There was no clear rule for the use of these words that can be recognized in the Old Testament. In the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, it appears. And God, Elohim, spoke these words saying, I am Yahweh.
Elohim, your God. You see, Elohim speaks and say, I am Yahweh. So are they two gods? You mean he forgot his personal name and you know whoever wrote that said, ah, go ahead, please.
Of the 57 occurrences of Eloha, 41 are found in Job in the dialogue where Job and his friends, who are not Israelites, and thus use the common Semitic name of God, which was used also in Israel. The word El for God, such as El Shaddai, appears 31 times, while Eloha is used also in Deuteronomy 32:17, Isaiah, Psalms, Daniel, Chronicles, but only once with a suffix in Habakkuk 1:11.
You see, this is again, you know, you mean the prophets used another name for God, for another God? Is that possible? The prophets who spoke to the Holy Spirit were telling us a lie? Would you believe this demonic preaching of Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons as well? No, can't be true. Anyway, however, in order to attain more exact definition of God, please.
The second.
Oh. However, in order to attain a more exact definition of God, it is necessary to begin with the passages in which Elohim or El stands in antithesis to something else, or where it is denied that a creature is a God. Man especially appears in antithesis to God. God or El is not man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent.
Okay, let's go to page 6, please, at the bottom. Psalm 47 in the shift again.
45.
Yes. Okay. Yes. You know, I have to copy that as an image from the Septuagint. Seos, Theos, O Seos, see. You know, and when you say, you read that to your witnesses, you know, I think they feel as if they have read something in Chinese. No, that's good Greek. Now.
For the end. For alternate strains by the sons of Kor, for instruction, a song concerning the beloved.
See, the beloved.
My heart has uttered a good matter. I declare my works to the king. My tongue is the pen of a quick writer. Thou art more beautiful than the sons of men. Grace has been shed forth on thy lips. Therefore God will bless thee forever.
Verse 6, please.
Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, thy God, has appointed thee with the oil of gladness beyond thy fellows.
You see, that your God, thy God, O God, obviously, it is here about the Father and the Son. Obviously. And on page 7, you know, you have all these numbers that apply to strong on the Hebrew words. The number of the Hebrews are those in the strong concordance. Okay? You have the word Elohim 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth word which has 4, 3, Q. Have you got that?
Yeah.
Yes, that is Elohim Elahak. Okay? Now then, Jehovah Witnesses.
Jehovah was not and is not the Hebrew name of God. This form comes from 17th century lack of understanding Hebrew.
You see, there's nothing called Jehovah. I said, where is that Jehovah? That's a foreign god you have invented here in America, I think. Yeah. There's no Jehovah.
Now, I have a question about that. Because I read my King James Version in Genesis, and it calls him Jehovah.
That is because you did that at backwards, mentally retired.
I did?
Mm-hmm. Not you. The King James translation.
So the King James Version Bible is...
No. Only for the word Jehovah.
On the word Jehovah.
Yes.
That's what I mean, in Genesis.
Yes, they were not aware that this is not really the right way of writing the divine name.
So it should have read Yahweh.
It should be Yahweh. And in the New King James, they have corrected that mistake. Molly, you are beautiful as always. Like your dad. That one up there. I didn't say like Bob.
That's her.
You should know her dad.
Well, I did look that up in New American Standard Bible, and it was accurate there because it referenced him as the provider, but there was no word.
No, Yahweh is the right way. Jehovah is a European invention, and you love Europeans so much, you picked it up from the English, I think. It's part of English colonialism in the Bible, I think. There is nothing called Jehovah. And if you say Jehovah to me, you see my hand reaching for your throat. Because you blaspheme God. And my Semitic blood boils. There's nothing called Jehovah. When I used to go to College Park and they passed by all these banners called Jehovah, Jehovah and something, you know, and I said to Kimber Kaufman, God bless him, he's a great man. If I see these banners again, I'm going to burn them. I said, why? I said, there's nothing called Jehovah. And I think some of them disappeared. Have they disappeared completely, John?
I don't see them.
Yeah? Okay. They took my threat seriously. He knows that when I threaten someone, I'll do it. Okay. Let's go to Adonai. Go ahead.
Adonai means Lord. It can be used for God as well as for humans. Examples for humans and for Yahweh as an addition.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord Yahweh, the God of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh, your God, is God of gods and Lord of lords.
Mm-hmm.
We also see Yahweh, the Lord of all the earth. The Lord says, Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel. The Lord, Yahweh of hosts, says the Lord, Yahweh of hosts. Adon is used by itself in some psalms, and in the longest psalm, 119.
Can you imagine the longest psalm in the Bible does not have the name Yahweh? Who? You know, is that a catastrophe?
No,
of course not. If the people who wrote that psalm, was it possibly David, he forgot that God should be called Yahweh?
No.
No, of course not. You know, when you offer the Hebrew Bible to them and said, show me the name Yahweh in Psalm 119, it's the longest psalm ever written in human history. Why it is missing?
It's the same. They just call him something.
Oh, you can call God anything. And you see, this is magic. If you don't use a particular name for God, your spell will not work. That's magic. Oh, yes.
That's what
Haven't I learned magic in the land of Egypt, the land of magic? I can teach you some certain tricks also. My wife said, don't. I can, and then I'd repent and confess and get some demonic attacks, and I'll fast for 40 days and I'll go. But you know, my dear, no, I'm teasing you. I'll never do it. But you know, it's not, you know, you have to say a special name in a special way. And if you change one sound, the spell doesn't work. That is because magic is attacked with demons. You know, you have to use certain things, believe in certain things, and write certain things in a certain way. If you make a mistake, it doesn't work. God, our Creator, you know, in English, what is the divine name? It's G-O-D, is it? It's an old Nordic name. It's neither Hebrew nor Greek. But this is the word you choose to speak to him. He will say to you, well, I'm sorry. You should speak to me in Hebrew. You know who says that? You have to speak to God in the original language of the Revelation?
Islam.
Thank you. Because you know, if you say anything in your prayer other than Arabic, your prayer doesn't count. And we know from anthropology that this is a form of magic. That's why these bad people altered the name of Jesus into Esau.
Esau.
You know, they altered the name Jesus into Esau, which is Esau.
Wait, who did that?
The Muslims. Because you see, when you read Jesus in the English translation of the Quran, they're bluffing you. It doesn't exist. You know, my dear friends, you call God any name, provided that your heart has faith in your God as your own creator, and he will listen to you. Adonai, yes. That's why, my dear friends, the Son,
and Yahweh.
Lord and Yahweh, please.
You, O Lord, laid the foundation of the world in the beginning, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old as a garment, and as a cloak you will roll them up. Yes, just as a garment, they will also be removed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. This is the best reprimand for Jehovah's Witnesses. The quotation comes from Psalms 102. This psalm starts by addressing God as Yahweh.
Are you aware? The psalm speaks to God as Yahweh. Hear my prayer, O Yahweh. Mm-hmm.
Then in verse 24, the name changes into El. O my God, Eli, do not take me up.
Mm-hmm.
In the Septuagint,
yeah.
Yahweh is translated Kyrios, and then Eli, two. Eli, two becomes Kyrios.
Mm-hmm.
Here, Jesus, according to this quotation, is Yahweh and Kyrios.
And Kyrios. You know, my dear friends, Psalm 22 was on the lips of Jesus. Right? What does it say? You hear it in Good Friday, repeated in Aramaic, in your service. When Christ said, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you read that in the Gospel of Matthew, it is still written in Aramaic in English letters. What does it say? No, Eli, Eli. Not Yahweh. Eli, Eli, Ilama Sabachthani. Eli, my God, because the God El, again, you know. So Yahweh never was on the lips of Jesus. Simply. Jesus did not come to talk to us about Yahweh. He came to talk to us about the Father.
Amen.
I am the Son of the Father. I am the Father of one. You know, the fatherhood of God has nothing to do with the Hebrew names, except that the Hebrew names provide the historical foundation of the divinity of Jesus.
Yeah.
I want to stop here and ask if you have any questions before we move into deep water.
This has not been deep water.
This has been shallow.
Is it deep waters for you? No,
no,
never.
I totally get it.
Yes, sir.
Did you convert the Jehovah's Witnesses?
Actually, there is a video. We had a challenge in the Baptist Church in Nottingham when I was teaching. It was televised to the nation, and they got two of their people, their best, because you know I teach at the university. And the Baptist Church in that part of Nottingham was, can take about 500, but we had 5,000. So they had to put a tent and what we call it, television circuit?
Closed circuit.
This was the night where Christ decided to do his work. I never got it. My colleagues in the faculty said to me, you're going? I said, yes, I never was a coward. Are you aware of their tricks? Well, yes. But you know, you don't fight someone because you know the tricks. You fight someone because you know what is the best tool you have. It was on a video, I may still have a copy here in Carmel, but you know, we decided to go for 12 points. If you ask a question and I fail to answer, they gain a point. If I ask a question and they fail to answer, I gain a point. And the score was 10-2. And I let them gain 2 points at the beginning. That's my, to trap them. I let them gain 2 points, and then they relaxed. When they relaxed, you know, slicing them. And you know, I took them by total surprise from Hebrew chapter 1. I did, you see, you study the Bible, and you must have read Hebrews chapter 1, maybe 10,000 times in your life. But did you know it is the sharpest tool that can chop off their heads? No. When we came to Hebrew chapter 1, started to read in Hebrew, and I had the people from the faculty of Semitic studies, the people who can speak Hebrew. And we said, Jesus is Yahweh. They stood up and said, do you have any objection to that? Prove it from Hebrews. So we gained 8 points for that. Once my scores had to go up, they lost their courage. Yes, you know, you let the enemy fire the first shot. But you're going to fire your own artillery. The Americans do that also. Americans are good fighters, by the way. So here is the issue. Eli, my God. Christ came to talk about the Father of God. Now, angels in the Bible, please leave it for you to read it. The angel of the Lord is something you have to read.
What's
with
the last?
Yes. John.
I'm going to assume it's like this in many families, but you and I have many.
Speak up, John, so we can record it.
It's like this in many families, with children, dogs, pets. Julie and I have lots of pet names for each other. We call each other by lots of different names. Do you think that would be a fair analogy, a fair similarity, that God wants to be that familiar with us, like you said, that we can really from our heart call upon him in any way, and he's a loving God and hears us, just like we have our pet names for our family. We do it all the time. We make them up. So do you think that would be a fair reading of what we're talking about here?
Yes. There are a lot of intimate names for Jesus in Christian history, but were dropped out of use. Is it dropped out of use, is that right?
No longer
in use, because they were so personal, so intimate, you know, that people don't call Jesus beloved anymore. Is that right? Don't call Jesus my servant. Have you heard that being said anymore? Jesus my servant, come and wash me because I'm too dirty and I cannot wash myself. It's an old hymn from the 12th century. I don't know. There are a lot. Jesus, you are my bread and I need to eat you, because if I don't eat you, I will go hungry and I'll die. I'll die eternally. You are my water, you know? Mm-hmm. Do you say to Jesus, you are my priest? Yeah?
I don't know that that's common, but, you know.
You are my intercessor? Yeah. Okay, that's good, because evangelicals care about that, about the intercession, yes. But my servant?
No?
No? No. Well, do you want a little bit some hot pepper from the ancient church?
Yes.
Some hot pepper, you know, to make you wake up? You do? You do? I love you.
Is this the deep part you were talking about?
No, it is that troublemaker John, you know, at the end, you know. This is a little bit of hot pepper, very hot. You know, the pepper is spray?
Mace.
It is like that. When did God kneel down to worship creation? When what? When did he kneel down to worship creation?
Before his creation.
Before his creation.
When did he kneel to his creation?
Kneel down in front of his own creation. Who said that?
Bravo.
You deserve a crown. Say it out loud.
It was when he was knelt down to wash the disciples' feet.
Worship the feet of the disciples. You know, we have that service in England, and I had to wash the feet of the bishop. And after I washed them, and to be sure they are clean, I kissed them. He nearly had a heart attack. Why did you do that? I said, Bishop, does your wife do this to you? Oh, no, not here. I said, in the bedroom. Oh, not even in the bedroom. Get out of me. He said, but that's what God would love to do to you. Do you say, Christ, you are the greatest kisser? This is all in Christian mysticism. You know this word, mysticism? You want Mr. Walter to write it for you?
They know mysticism.
Do you know? Is Christ your great kisser, the one who will kiss you goodnight before you go to bed?
Is this the deep part you were talking about?
Poor Walter, yeah, I love these people. I want them to come back again. Because I have plenty of pepper here in my pocket, you know, so I really love you. Do you say, Christ, you are the great kisser, I want to kiss you? So how do you kiss Jesus? Why are you so shy, Cindy? Speak out loud.
He said I would kiss his feet in his hands.
Yeah, how do you kiss Jesus?
In
communion. Oh my goodness. You are really pretty. Yes, in communion. Yes. You know, when you put the chalice near your lips, not a kiss, because he comes to kiss you. Mm-hmm. Is Christ a great kisser? You know, one of the things I love about you Americans, you are so generous with feelings. When it comes to God, you hide a little bit. Why? Let go. Okay. We are about to run out of time. Day 16. Oh, would you read the handout at home? You know, each handout will take at least 3 days of my life. So you carry my life here. And you know who pays the price? My wife. Make me some tea, make me some food, you know, something like that. You know, day 16. Slowly, shout like me.
You have to, there's like 10 sermons in this.
Jesus came to give me a new identity, child of God. That means that he is God. No one can give us adoption by God except God.
Yes. No one can adopt you into God except God. You know, when I meet these lovely young ladies, you know, I say, oh, I want to adopt you as my daughter. One of them said to me, my father will come and shoot you dead. I said, no, thank you. No, thank you. You know, nobody can adopt you into God except God. Be the son of God, or the daughter of God, or the child of God. Don't squeeze me about this exclusive, inclusive language. I don't like it. Child, right? Yeah. Mm.
Jesus abolished the distance between God and humanity because he is God incarnate who united both the divine and the human in himself. Jesus taught me that I have to accept my death as part of fellowship with him, so that by dying with him, I will rise up with him and have immortal life, which belongs to God alone.
See, dying with Christ will cost you life. If there's no eternal life, you lost. But do we really lose?
Hmm. Jesus made me a new human by giving me a share in his life. And by sharing his life with him, he also made me share his life with those who believe in him. Only God can do that, as no creature can share his life with more than one person and stay alive.
Mm. You know, anybody can share his life with you. I know a friend who needs a kidney transplant. And his mom donated a kidney. So they divided the kidneys. But if she donates the two kidneys,
or the heart,
well, the heart, she has to die, I think. I wish I would be alive to see a brain transplant. We need to do that to some of our politicians, I think.
Okay. Jesus taught me that sin is self-injury, and that he can heal that self-injury and restore my true inner health. Being the divine physician, Jesus lived my life as God incarnate. No one can heal our inner injuries except God, who as our creator can alone restore life. Jesus revealed to me both God and humanity as God incarnate. He is God to us humans and human to God. And that means he represents the two united in one life, both human and divine. Only God can do that.
Yeah. Who can present humanity to God and God to humanity except
Jesus?
One?
Mm-hmm.
Who has the two? Mm. You know, when the gentleman saying that Obama called him on the cell phone, I nearly believed him. I nearly believe, but you know, I kept saying, I think the man is very busy with parts of the things. He wasn't going to call anyone for enough, at least for a year. But you know, it is someone. He has to be such an important man to be called at that time of my life for the president, isn't it? Isn't that right? Who can do the work of God except God? Yeah, go on.
Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end of all things. He is the beginning of my new life, and he is the end or the goal of his new eternal life. No one can be the beginning and the end except God, our Creator. Jesus is the means and the goal. He is the mediator and therefore the means. And he is the goal because he is the resurrection and eternal life. Jesus abolished the law as a means of leading to God, because the law has the power to make me think all the time if I'm right or wrong. And that means that I am more engaged with myself than I am with God. The law can lock me in the labyrinth and the moral maze. Jesus freed me from the law by becoming the source of new life. He freed me from the law by abolishing it as a way which leads to God, for he is the way. Jesus put the sinners above the law and all other values, and by doing that, Jesus freed us from being items or things sold to rituals, customs, and concepts. He died for me so that his death and resurrection become the door to new life, free, fresh, and guided by his love. If I do not confess that Jesus is God incarnate, I'm injuring my life and my love and depriving myself of the better of the two, God and humanity.
Okay, thank you. We will pray and I'll sit here, sip some water. And if there's anything here you don't like, you can come with your gun. Okay, John, Luther, get in prayer, please. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to have this time together. We thank you for giving us George, who can teach, for bringing us through your Spirit with ears to hear. We pray, Father, for a spirit of wisdom and a revelation of knowledge of yourself, that we might understand, we might learn, and that we might act. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your love. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Sleep well. Don't dream about Jehovah's Witnesses at the moment. If they come to you, send them to me.
I don't think this recorded.
Our technology working?
I don't know.